Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
As you may know, Ronnie Spector, the lead singer of the Ronettes, died last Wednesday. The Ronettes were a hugely influential 1960s female vocal trio, girl group pioneers kind of thing, who paved the way for future female artists. The Ronettes gave us hits like this one. Be My Baby, and of course this one. Well, people from Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys to Keith Richards from the Rolling Stones have talked about how much they admire the Ronettes. Ronnie Spector married Ronettes producer Phil Spector in 1968, but suffered dreadful violent abuse at his hands, which she detailed later in her memoir. She eventually escaped her marriage and went on to record with Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band and continued to record into her 70s. Ronnie Spector was such an important figure in music that Zendaya has been cast to play the role of Ronnie Spector in an upcoming, what do you want to call it, biopic, whatever you like. Anyway, I was lucky to get a chance to interview the fabulous Ronnie Spector many years ago. Not entirely sure actually when this interview happened, the mists of time, but anyway, I'm going to bring some of it now. Let's go for it. Ronnie Spector,
you're very welcome to the programme.
Oh, David, so good to be here.
Now,
really.
You've only just arrived this afternoon, that's right, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
But this is not your first time in Ireland.
I was here 2.5 decades ago.
Yeah, sorry, go on. Yeah.
I was here 2.5 decades ago.
Two and a half decades
yes,
ago,
with
playing
the Ronettes,
with
yeah.
the Ronettes.
Yeah.
And who was supporting the Ronettes that night?
The Rolling Stones were our opening act. Hard to believe.
The Rolling Stones was the opening act. Okay, there's one thing about all those songs from those days, from 63, say, 64, and a bit of 65, but mostly 63 and 64, that they're not just cited by millions of people as an influence, but they're still played perfectly today as they were then. As opposed, like, this is the Ronettes doing
yes.
this. And like the influence has stretched right across.
Well, you ask me, why do I think it? I think it's because it was innocent then, and that was the beginning of that music. It was the beginning of those lyrics, those innocent, wonderful lyrics. For every kiss he gives me, I'll give him three. It wasn't so involved. And I think the people love that still. And I know young kids come backstage for my autograph, 8, 9, 10, 15, 20, and they love those songs. And it's amazing, even to me. I mean, I never thought that my records would be around 27 years. 27 years ago when I recorded these songs, I never thought that the people would be loving them to today. And it amazes me. It's just like every time I do a show, I'm struck. I can't believe it.
Okay, well then, like a lot of people know about, like it's been well documented, your marriage with Phil between 68, Phil Spector that is, who produced that album,
yes.
who produced the Ronettes, and who virtually discovered in some ways, if you think, the Ronettes as well, between 68 and 74 when you were married. Let's go back to what you were talking about there in Spanish
yeah.
Harlem, in New York. What was it like when you started off? I mean, you hadn't a clue really what you were doing, did you?
Not a clue. It was a group called Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers that did a song called Why Do Fools Fall in Love. And I fell in love. Unbelievable. I fell in love with this guy. I fell in love with his voice, his diction. I mean, I was just in puberty, like 12, 13 years old. And my hands would actually, my palms would sweat. My toes would curl up. I actually loved that voice. And that's what I went by. And I think that's what the early 60s represented music until Phil Spector and later on Springsteen and people in Motown. But it was just the voices that really, and I think people are getting back to that now. They want to hear what you're talking about, or singing. They want to actually hear those words and those love words. I love you, baby, I love you, and walking in the rain. I mean, I remember in 64 when the Ronettes came over here, and walking in the rain, Phil came over. And we were actually walking in the fog and the rain. And we went back to America and wrote Walking in the Rain. And it was brilliant because it was just like people being in love and walking outside in the fog and in the rain. It made sense. And I think we're getting back to making sense, and I love it.
Which is what you say in the book as well, because you do say that like the song titles that you had are like the story of yourself and
yes.
Phil, right?
As a matter of fact, Spanish Harlem by Benny King, that was written by Phil Spector.
Yeah.
Now, it was rumored that he had seen the Ronettes before, and he knew we were from Spanish Harlem, and he wrote There Was a Rose in Spanish Harlem. So everything in the early 60s, prior to the Beatles, prior to Beatlemania and all the British invasion, which was great, but prior to that, there were lyrics. They
yeah.
weren't the girls screaming and mania and stuff. It was just love songs.
Ronnie, I'll tell you, you're not going to hear this properly because I don't have a set of headphones there, but I just want to play something here. We were talking about Frankie Lyman earlier on. Hold on a second. I'll tell you, you'll hear a little bit. Hold on. Okay, I'm going to take it down there, because "Why do birds sing so gay?" That one specific line did mean quite a bit to you when you came then to sort of meet up with you. What you wanted to do was get a producer, right? So you said, "I'm going to go to the top here. I'm going to try for Phil Spector." Now, you didn't do it. You were in the room when somebody else rang up Phil Spector.
My
right?
sister did.
Exactly. And she got through to Phil Spector.
Yes, which was amazing, because we just said, what the heck? Because we had been with Colpix Records, no hit records at all. Every record that we made at Colpix was a flop. And we knew Phil was the best, and we wanted the best. And we said, let's go for it. Let's call him. And my sister called and spoke to his, her name was Joni, the secretary, got through. Phil gets on the line. He said, "I'd like to set up an audition with you guys tomorrow night at Mirror Sound." And it was amazing to go down to the studio the next night and actually meet this guy.
And you went down to the studio and you started singing and says, "Yeah, okay, no problem." So you started singing away this song that Mr. Camelucci had done
right,
with you and whatever, right?
Red Robins, yeah.
Yeah, and luckily Phil was cool enough, as opposed to your average producer, to say something along the lines of, "Look, okay, now you've done all that rubbish now. Right. Listen, what can you really do here?" Right. And it was this one song, wasn't it?
It was Frankie Lyman, "Why Do Fools Fall in Love." He said, "That's the voice."
And it was that line then when he heard you saying,
Why do birds sing so gay? He said, "That's the voice I've been looking for." So Frankie Lyman actually helped my career totally. I mean, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have had Be My Baby with Phil.
Right. Okay, so Be My Baby was the first one, right? Now, that took a long time.
Yes, it did.
It was suddenly a lesson in the music business, wasn't it?
Well, we were with Phil. We did a song called "Why Don't They Let Us Fall in Love First," which I thought was going to be the single. But Phil was actually training my voice and learning, watching how I even talked. Not just sang, but how I talked and sang, so he could phrase my phrasing with the band. He would take me down to Gold Star Studios, and I'd be with the band, and I'd just sing little songs like, "Why don't they let us fall in love?" And he said, "Now, do that again." And then that's how he wrote Be My Baby, by just listening to me sing different little songs, mostly all of Frankie Lyman's. "Like, tell you about the ABCs, and I'm not a juvenile delinquent, and goody, goody for him." All these songs I would sing for Phil. And even Little Anthony and the Imperials. What were some of the, which I oh gosh, I hate that I can't remember the title. Like, "Going Out of My Head" by Little Anthony, and the Chantels' "Maybe." Maybe. All these songs. He took my voice and said, "You have all of those sounds." And he actually wrote Be My Baby with me talking and singing. Because Be My Baby wasn't written until 7-8 months later.
Yeah. And he did succeed. I mean, he got you your number one hit singles.
Yes.
He got you what you wanted.
Oh, yes, he did.
And he
was,
also...
He was, I must say, you know, my book says this and that. But that's my personal life with Phil, when I was married. But professionally, he was brilliant in the studio. And that's when I fell in love with him, watching him work. He was so brilliant, how he'd watch those musicians, and he could play every instrument. It was the most amazing thing to watch that man in the studio, really.
And it was almost a love at first sight, wasn't it, in some ways? I mean, you were mesmerized by this guy.
Well, the first night I met him at that Mirror Sound with the other two Ronettes, he played us a song called, by Darlene Love, "Today I Met the Boy I'm Gonna Marry." Which I thought was weird, because we kept looking at each other over this grand piano that he had, and I was very shy. And it was weird that he was looking at me, I'm looking at him, and then a couple of nights later, me and the other two Ronettes would go down and rehearse, and then he would tell them to go home, and we'd rehearse alone, and that's when it started. So I'd say from the very beginning.
Do you think from the very beginning, in some ways, that was also the beginning of the end for the Ronettes, because there was too much with you? I mean, there was one description in the book about how the food used to come out and yours would be on the bottom to keep your one hot.
Yeah, well, that's when the jealousy started with the other two Ronettes. I remember Phil, you know, like, we would be in a hotel, and, you know, after a long night at the studio, and he would come in and say, "Here's your food, guys, and Ronnie's is on the bottom because that's the warmest." Well, the other two Ronettes, and another thing he would do was he would keep me on the phone all night. So they were jealous because their boyfriends weren't calling them, and it just got crazy at one point. But I think the end of the Ronettes was when Phil and I started our romance. Mm. And I hated that because I didn't see it then. And I loved the Ronettes, and I loved performing.
But, I mean, by that stage, that was a good 3 years before you married Phil. And yet there was plenty of signs that Phil was, to put it bluntly, a bit of a weirdo even then, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I thought once I married Phil, things would calm down. because I knew he was this genius, and he was very, he worked hard, and he, you know, he stayed up all night arranging things and writing things. So I knew that, and I accepted that, and I loved him. But I thought that once we got married, things would change. He would calm down. He wouldn't be so jealous. He would know it's him and me forever. You know, I'm still living in this fantasy world, and love is blind. You don't see a lot of the things that other people see. Like the other two Ronettes would say, can't you see that he's holding you down from doing everything? He's calling you to make sure you don't go out and see other guys and stuff, and you don't see that? I said, no, he loves me is why he's calling me. You guys be quiet. So it was like I didn't see a lot of the things to it was too late.
Yeah. But even like before that, your mother was able to say, look, this is ridiculous. This guy's supposed to be the millionaire. And like this guy was one of the most famous people in the history. In fact, he still is. What am I talking about? One of the most famous people in the history of music. He was a millionaire by the age of 21. I mean, even in the 70s.
Giving him our allowance money.
Yeah. But even in the 70s, like when he produced albums for, say, Leonard Cohen or the Ramones, there was much more talk about Phil Spector producing them than about the albums themselves or about the two acts I've just mentioned. So if he wasn't spending any money, he used to make you sort of scrape up all the pennies together to sort of pay for the ride
home. I remember that very clearly. I remember the Ronettes going, it would take us to lunch or something, and after lunch he would say, guys, I only have a $100 bill. So we were just getting out of high school.
The old $100 bill trick.
Yeah. We didn't know that was a trick then. I mean, we were in awe of him. The first time I ever saw a limousine was when I met Phil Spector. The first time I ever had room service or big hotels is when I met Phil. Remember, I'm from Spanish Harlem, and when I was downtown, I didn't go in the Plaza or the Waldorf Hotel. I only looked at it from the outside. So all of this was like, my God. So I was in awe of Phil myself. And so were the other two Ronettes. Not like me, but, you know, you're in awe of this man that has limousines. And I remember a show called The Millionaire in New York, and it was on when we used to come home from school. That was a show we watched. It was about a millionaire who gave $1 million to somebody he liked or treated. And that's all we knew of a millionaire. And Phil was a millionaire when we met him and considered a genius. Mm-hmm. So we were, you know, very much in awe, especially me, that he made a hit record, number one. Woo, wow, wow.
Woo, wow, wow. You're listening, by the way, to an interview that I did with the late, great Ronnie Spector. She really was great, by the way. The Ronettes, she passed away during the week. The Ronettes, as I said earlier, one of the most influential female groups in the 1960s with hits like Be My Baby, Baby I Love You, etc. And as I said, Zendaya is due to play her Ronnie Spector, that is, in an upcoming movie about the singer's life. I just might as well play some music first before I go back into the interview. This is Ronnie, take it away, the Ronettes. And that's what's called Be My Baby. That's from the Ronettes. Let's get back into a little more of the interview with Ronnie Spector, who died earlier this week.
Something I didn't know about, that Cher did a lot of backing vocals in those days.
Sonny and Cher.
Yeah.
They did all of them.
Yeah,
all of the backings from Be My Baby. Not just my records, the Righteous Brothers stuff, Darling Love stuff, the Bobby Sox and the Blue Jeans.
I knew she did some, but I didn't realize she did so many until I read the book.
We had to meet Sonny upstairs in a hotel room. Sonny had the piano. They always rented hotel rooms, and they had a piano rented and stuff for us to learn records. This is before Phil moved to California, and all his studio work was in Gold Star. And Cher was there with Sonny this day. And I remember she had this eyeliner, this blue stuff and tight pants, and I actually thought she was a hooker. People thought I was a hooker too once, so in the book, don't think I'm saying that about Cher, because I love her and we're great friends, and also that I people thought I was a hooker once too, so I almost got arrested.
That's in the book
Phil.
As well. That was a really odd one.
And
who set up that arrest? Phil. Did he?
You think so? No.
Well, I don't know. Just reading between the lines, I get that impression. No? I mean, he was really like irate afterwards. How dare you? Do you realize that's my wife, sort of thing? But at the same time, it happened when you were walking down the corridor. You didn't know what was going on. The cops pulled you in, right?
Yes, and Phil had left just 5 minutes prior to me.
Yeah.
But I never thought of him as doing tricks and this and that to get me or make me. I don't know why I didn't think of him like that. I always thought of him as a sweet guy. I didn't see the other side until after I was married. I saw some of it before I was married, but not like I saw after I was married.
And when you were married and living in California in your mansion in Beverly Hills or whatever, which it was, right?
Yes.
Okay.
23 rooms and 5 servants.
Really?
Yeah.
But yet you were a prisoner.
Well, I wasn't anything. I wasn't. I was just, there's the cook, there's the upstairs maid, there's wife. You understand? I'm right in that category somewhere. And that's how I felt.
Is it a bit like Foster Kane in Citizen? What's his name? Thingamabob and Citizen Kane.
Orson Welles.
Was it a bit like that?
I have to tell you something, Dave. As a matter of fact, the movie Citizen Kane, we had a projection room in our home, and that Citizen Kane was a Phil's favorite movie, and he played it over and over. And of course, it was about a girl that couldn't sing. And I thought he was just so nice and in love with me to tell me in a nice way that I couldn't sing. See, so everything that he did, it was like bad. I thought that was his nice way of saying, you can't sing, I just don't want to know how to tell you, so I'll play Citizen Kane for you every night. So I just got the message. So I was a little dense too, you know.
Ronnie, just to get sort of a bit of a headline right through those few years with Phil, the 6 years you were married, it was completely and absolutely crazy, right?
Yes, it was. I mean, the first year was nice, I must say. But after that, it just got crazier, more gates, more dogs, more, you know, more locks on the doors, locked from the inside. It just got to the point where I had to leave with no shoes on. That's the only way I could get out. My mother had to come from New York, and we sat up and planned my escape and planned how I should get out. And the only way I could get out is if I didn't have on shoes. Phil would think that I'm not going to leave because I wouldn't walk, you know, past the gates and all the rocks and stuff. And that's how I got out, past the rocks and all, through me and my mom.
Wow, I mean, like, okay, we don't have enough time to go through all the things about the pillow to make it look as though you were pregnant, about the cast on the leg and all these things. But when you did get out, okay, you're talking about what, 1974, no?
1972,
but you finally got the divorce in 74.
Yes. After 74, when I got my divorce from Phil, that was the end of it. Not true. Phil called me for years and years and harassed me and said if I got on a stage, he would have hitmen and he would kill me. So it went on for years and years after my divorce till I finally met a man named Jonathan Greenfield that got the phone from Phil one night. He was just a friend of mine at the beginning. And he said, my God, how can anybody just torture a person like this? He happened to overhear Phil on the extension one night. And he told him whatever he said to him, and that was the last time Phil called. So I want people to know it wasn't after the divorce that it stopped. It got worse and worse and worse till I thought I may as well kill myself. Because I think his plan inside is to say, you'll do it yourself. I'll be in California and you'll be in New York and you'll kill your own self. And I got out and I'm here and I survived. And I'm alive. I have two beautiful children. They're not adopted. They're biologically mine. And I'm having a great time. I'm back with singing. I have a band that I've had for 2 years, and we're rocking and rolling. And I'm having a good time. Yes.
When was the last time you had contact with Phil?
I haven't. The last time was about a month ago because we're going through royalties. He owes me about a few million dollars in back royalties from movies that my records have been in and all that, and have been in commercials and stuff, and he never paid me. So all that, they took him to court and I won. So.
So downtown Connecticut is where it's at.
Yes.
Okay, well listen, Ronnie, I'm sorry we're going to have to go, but there's so much I could have asked you, so much more. You should have been here at 8 o'clock. Be My Baby is the name of the book. Ronnie Spector is the person. It's out in Pan, is that right? Yeah, Pan people do it. Pan's people do it. Thank you very much indeed, Ronnie Spector.
Thank
Good
you,
luck,
Dave.
Take it easy.
Weekends on 2FM.